So this last week, many of you know that I like to study with a coffee cup close by, and I like to study where it's going to keep getting filled. And some people wonder if I ever spend time in the office, and the local joke is that I have an office in several places at a table there, or a table there, or a table there, or a table there, and people probably wonder, does he ever show up in his own office? Occasionally, once in a while. But I was paying my bill this week, and I just kind of my attention shifted, and I was watching one of the waitresses at one of the local restaurants filling these little canisters with ranch dressing, and it was just, I was so impressed. I mean, she was filling these, and she was so fast, and there were probably 30 or 40 containers out there, and she probably had that, you know, that filler thinger pouring from 12 inches above the little canisters, and man, she was just dropping dressing in there, and it was so cool, and she was doing such a good job, and I was just watching, and maybe she sensed that I was watching, because all of a sudden, she missed, and kind of like two containers got a little bit of ranch dressing in them, and I couldn't help it, but I started laughing, and I said, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have laughed, but I didn't explain, but I actually had this picture of me. And I thought, that is so me. That is so me. Because sometimes I feel like is that, you know, I'm kind of like this moving target. And, you know, that's the problem with us is that God's so wanting to fill us with his love and God desires, and we keep on moving around. And sometimes we just happen to kind of fall under the stream of his blessing, not dressing, blessing. And sometimes we just happen to fall under the stream of his blessing. And we get a little bit filled up. But you know, I just tend to move I'm so busy. I'm doing things, and I'm kind of running here and there and all of that kind of stuff, and I'm constantly moving. And he's just like, hey, Dave, just stay put. Be filled. Be filled. And sometimes I'm just focused on other things and moving around. And I don't know about you but sometimes I wonder is, you know, why is it that I end up feeling so empty sometimes? And you know, part of that is that I'm just constantly moving. I'm just constantly moving I'm just kind of, you know, moving from place to place. And I think about that in the context because sometimes, you know, sometimes I get so frustrated or I get so discouraged or even maybe get angry, and I can kind of tell when I'm moving from under the Lord's love, because it just seems like that there's more frustration or there's more anger or there's more discouragement or whatever it might be. I mean, the littlest thing can frustrate me. And I can get so self-focused because, you know, when my focus is off, I think that the world should be revolving around me. So do you ever see that? Do you ever see it in your kids or your spouse where it's just kind of like, hey, why is it all about you? But then sometimes we sense it within ourselves also. And I think about that, and I think about it is you know, it's so easy to get distracted. And when I get distracted it's so hard to live under the Lord's blessing and under his anointing and under his love. And yet there, you know, you think about it is that someone came to Jesus one day and they asked him a question, and they said, what are the greatest commandments? What are the greatest commandments? And I've been thinking about it this week, because if you could summarize the two great commandments down to one, how would you do it? Because there's these two great commandments, and this lawyer comes to Jesus one day. As we're told that a religious leader, a lawyer comes to Jesus. So he's a religious leader, but he's a religious leader that knows the law of God. And he comes to Jesus and he says, what are the greatest commandments in the law? What are the greatest commandments in the law? And Jesus, instead of answering the questions, he says, what do you think? He just turns the question back onto the individual. What do you think? And the lawyer responds and says, love the Lord your God. And this is in Matthew chapter 17. He said, you shall love the Lord your God. So the man responds to Jesus saying this, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And then the second one, And a second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this is stuff that we've all heard. We've all heard about the great commandments. We've heard that Jesus commends this man and he says, good job. You are right. And we've heard this. But living it is very different than hearing it. But we've heard it, and I say, hey, let's simplify it a little bit. If we could summarize it down to one commandment, what would it be? If we could just break it down to one commandment, what would it be? And so in thinking about this, here's what I'm thinking is if we could summarize it down, it would be this: become love. Become love. Don't do love, don't do loving things, don't pursue little niceties, don't do random acts of kindness, because that was kind of a really big thing there for a little while, is do random acts of kindness. Do you know what random acts of kindness are? They're random acts of kindness. So, they just kind of happen randomly. And random acts of kindness are like a piece of candy to a kid. Is hey, have a piece of candy. Enjoy it. It's just a piece of candy. It's just a little bit of sweetness. But there's this challenge. Become love. Become love. Not random love. Not a little bit of love. Become love. And you might say, well, how can that happen? That's not possible. I mean, you can't think that a person can actually do that, can you? That's not possible. It's not possible to be love. And so I want you to invite me to walk with me for a little while on this. Let's take a little journey. Let's walk down a little path. Let's think about it a little bit more. It's not possible to be love, is it? If it's not possible to be love if you're thinking about it in the context of the way that we usually think about it. If you're thinking about it, it's not possible to be love if you think about it the way that you've always been. And so consider this: is Jesus didn't come so that we can stay the way that we've always been. Jesus didn't come so that you can stay the way that you've always been. The way that you've always been is what has got us into this mess in the first place, right? Is the way that it's always been is why there's so much conflict in our society. The way that it's always been is the reason why there's so much strife in our home, in our workplaces, in our government. The way that it's always been is because is the reason why sometimes you want to kind of throw someone on the floor and put a chokehold on them, right? Sorry, I couldn't resist. The way that it's always been is why we commit random acts of kindness rather than living the embodiment of kindness. But Jesus didn't come so that we can stay the way that it's always been. He didn't come so that we can be like the old Adam from the garden. Right? That picture that we have in Scripture of Adam and Eve being in the garden, but Adam and Eve falling. Jesus didn't come so that we could be like the old Adam from the garden. Jesus came so that we could be transformed, so that we could be changed, new creation, livers of his love. And the Bible describes this as new birth. As the Bible describes something that happens in our lives, it's called conversion. Is to convert means to be changed, that it's something new has happened, and it's called new birth. It's called to be born again, and it's not just found in John 3:16. It's found all over Scripture. Everywhere in Scripture, it speaks about the new birth that happens because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. You see, we think that he came just so that we can be forgiven and go to heaven someday. And that's not why he came. He didn't come for someday in the future. That's not the primary reason why he came. He came to restore that which has been lost. What was lost? Well, I can think of a few things that were lost because of sin. One of them is our ability to bear his image. Our ability to bear his image. You see, created in his perfection, we were created in the image of God. But because of the fall, we've lost the ability to bear his image. We've lost our value. We became less, not more. We became less, not more. To sin is to be less human, not more human. We lost our connection to love and our capacity to love. And it's why we get frustrated, and it's why we get discouraged, and it's why we want people to bend to our way of thinking, and it's why we want. You see, we think that Jesus came so that we can go to heaven someday, but that's not true. It's not true. Jesus came to bring heaven to us. He came to transform us. He came to make us new. And the reason we can go to heaven is because he stepped out of heaven. And the reason we can become new is because he is taking the garbage out of us and putting his goodness into us. And the reason we can be called a new creation is because the old creation was put to death on the cross where the Creator died for his very creation. You see, it's the crazy thing about God. It's the crazy thing about God. God made Jesus to be what we are. He became sin so that we can be the very righteousness of God. Not someday in the future. Right now. Here. Now, new creation. Livers of the love of God. It's crazy. He became less so that we could become more. He went to the cross so on the other side of the cross we could be what he calls us to be. We believe that the benefits of heaven are in the future, and it's a lie. We believe a lie. We believe the lie that we're irreparably broken this side of heaven. We believe the lie that we can't change and that we can't love like he loves. We believe the lie that we can't become love. And that's a problem. The problem is that we've been relating too much to who we have been. And the problem is that we also relate to each other in that way. If I relate to me as a sinner, and if I relate to you as a sinner, then where does that leave us? It leaves us in the garden of broken relationship. It leaves us in the garden where we hide from God and we hide from each other. Where God is coming and saying, "Where are you?" And ultimately, we're hiding. And when we come out and he says, "What's happened?" We're in that garden of broken relationship. She did it. That woman did it. She did it. And she says, "It caused me to do it. And ultimately, we all look at God and say, you did it. You did it. You know, because at one time in the garden is that Adam's in the garden and he's alone and it's the only thing of good that's not good about all of creation. And then the woman comes and he says, wowee! Cool. She's hot. I love it. But later, he says she's not. She did it. And she moves from hot to not. She's not perfect, and I'm no longer perfect because of her. And she says is that he made me do it. The serpent. And I don't want you to get the picture is that the serpent is this the snake that literally comes into the garden. Is he's pictured as a snake because of his lies and his deceitfulness, his slipperiness. And their eyes were open to what? To excuses. And so we focus on the past and on others' pasts and on human nature and on the way that seemeth right to man. You see, we have been taught by the fall of man and by the wisdom of this world and by the spirit of this age. You see, no one teaches you to be angry. No one teaches you to be frustrated. No one teaches you to see the worst in people. No one teaches you to exchange intimacy for sexuality or love for feelings. It comes with the package. And the danger is that we're all living in the garden of excuses. We're all living in the garden of excuses. Well, if you want to put her here with me, well, you never should have let that snake into here in the first place. It's really her fault. It's his fault. It's its fault. It's your fault. And all of a sudden, the world revolves around you and your excuses instead of love. But Jesus came. Did you catch that? Jesus came. He came into the garden of excuses. He came into our world. Jesus came and he came to change you. Jesus came to transform you. Jesus came to take the hell out of you and put heaven into you. Jesus came to take spite out of you and to put love into you. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, as he says in 1 Corinthians, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we're in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. We regard no one according to the flesh. We don't regard anyone according to the flesh. We don't regard our spouse, we don't regard our children, we don't regard our friends, our family members, our church family members, our community members. We don't regard anyone from the flesh. We regard no one, no one, no one. No one. Did you hear it? No one. We regard no one from the old way of seeing things. We regard no one from the past. Why? Because we don't just see the past, because we're not regarding them from what has been. From the flesh. We don't see the past. We see the potential. We see either new creation people and peoples of God, or we see potential new creation people of God. We don't see the color of skin. We don't see the primacy of sin. We don't see irreparably broken people. We don't see hopelessness. We don't see the flesh. We see potential. We see Jesus. We see changed lives. We see possibility. We see potential. We see an army of changed people. We see embodied love. You know what embodied love is? It's love in a body. Sometimes there's a lot of love that's spread out this way. Sometimes there's love spread out this way. It's embodied. And it's awesome. And it's good. Because it's embodied. It's embodied. And it's the reason why the Apostle Paul can say, in that same passage that we're reading in, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has what? Passed away. Did you catch that? The past is what? Past. The old has passed away. The new has what? Come. And this is from God. And it's because he's reconciled us to himself and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Did you catch that? Because of the past. It's past. And because of the new, because of reconciliation, we get to be a part of the new. We have a new life, a new responsibility, a new ministry. So what do you do? What do you do? Because the thing that we would naturally want to do is to do something, because that's what we try to do, is we try to do something. But maybe that's part of the problem. Is maybe we need to stop our doing and let him do it. Let him be at work in you. Let love in. Because when you let love in, you let Jesus in. I heard this great comment this week, and I need to take more time to think about it because I've been thinking about it all week, and I need some more time. But I think the name is Dan Moeller, and he says this, and it's still just resonating in my brain. He says, don't reduce your life down to serving the Lord. Don't reduce your life down to serving the Lord, because if your focus is on doing things for God or not doing things from God, if you're not doing things from God, then you're going to live with guilt. If you're doing too much for God, then at some point you're going to become resentful. Because you're going to start looking at other people and saying, why aren't they doing as much as I am? And so you're either going to live with guilt or resentment or shame or bitterness or whatever it is. And so don't reduce your life down to serving the Lord. Instead, get to know the Lord. Did you catch that? Get to know the Lord. Get to know the Lord. Really get to know him. Get to know the lover of your life. Get to know the one who loves you more than you can possibly imagine. Get to know the Lord. Stop doing, stop moving, stop chasing. Just live under the love of the Lord and look up and receive the love of the Lord and let your life be filled with the love of the Lord and stop thinking so much and stop doing so much. Just receive the love of the Lord. Take some time to get to know the Lord. It's the most important thing that you can do in the day. It's more important than even, you know, serving in the church or going on a mission trip or whatever it is. Because if you're just going on a mission trip, then it might as well be a vacation. And because if you don't know the Lord, then it's just going out and doing stuff. And it doesn't matter. Get to know the Lord. Get to know the Lord. Is make sure you're under his love and make sure you're ready to receive his love and worship him, because as you worship him, you're going to find his love just poured into your life. Get to know the Lord. Get to know the Lord. Get to know the one who values you more than you value yourself. Think about it this way. Would you pay $100,000 for a $10,000 car? If you would, then I've got two great vehicles to sell you right now. And if you don't want to pay $100,000 for them, then I will sell them to you for exactly 10 times their value, which with one of them right now isn't very much. Do you know your value? No one in their right mind would pay $10,000 for a $1,000 car or $100,000 for a $10,000 car. No one in their right mind would pay 10 times the value for an object that breaks down. But he paid the blood of Christ for you. You see, he considers you more valuable than you consider yourself. And the reason Jesus died on the cross, the reason he came, was to restore your value. He wants to make you a servant ready for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:17. He wants to restore your value and your worth. I'd say every penny, but instead, let me say you're worth every drop of blood. This week I wrote some things down as I was studying and thinking. I actually wrote some questions down. This morning I took some time to kind of look at those questions and to write out some just make them more clear. I want to take some time to think about this, and you can write these questions down if you have a pen. If you don't have a pen, you can grab one of my cards out there. My email address is on them, and I'll send you these questions and the scriptures that go with them. But these questions are important. These questions will help you to be able to think about this a little bit more. Do I see my past, or do I see my potential in Christ? Do I see my past, or do I see my potential in Christ? Do I tend to relate to people, the people around me, as fellow sinners, or as potential new creation people of God, or as potential or as new creation people of God? How would it affect me based on how I see people and how I relate to them? Do I believe that God came so that I can go to heaven someday? Or do I believe that heaven came to me and now lives in me through the Spirit of Christ? What are the consequences of each? Do I believe that I am of such great value to God that he sent Jesus to restore my value? Do I believe that I am worth so much to God that I'm worth the blood of Christ? Is my doing in life, or even my doing for the Lord, getting in the way of knowing the Lord? Is my life characterized by love? Because it's so important for us to understand that Jesus came. He came. Not so that we can be like we were, or not so that we could live in the past, but he came to transform us and change us and make us new creation livers of love. And so, here's some scriptures to dwell on. Let these scriptures just speak to you, fill you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Isaiah 43:18. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Ezekiel chapter 11, I forgot to put it in the slide. You can just hear it. And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue to live in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we've been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Ephesians 4:22-24. Put off your old self. Did you catch that? Put off. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, the beauty is that we have a loving God, and he loves us more than we can possibly imagine, and he loves you more than you can possibly imagine, and that he values you. He values you more than your finite mind can understand. That when he looks at you, he sees beauty. When he looks at you, he sees beautiful daughters and beautiful sons. And when he looks at you, he invites you to live under his love so that you can receive his love, so that you can be filled with his presence, so that you can be filled with his power, so that you can be filled to the full. And that he loves you so much that he stepped out of heaven for you. Not so that you can one day go to heaven, so that you could be filled with heaven. You can be filled with love. And that it's not for someday in the future, it's for right now. It's for right now. And right now, you can experience his newness, his renewal. Right now, you can get a taste of heaven and the infilling of heaven. And one day, we will be able to live in heaven with the fullness of heaven, being present in us and around us. And it's hard for our finite minds even to understand it. And it's just living in his love so that we can become his love in a hurting world. Just living in his love and under his love so that we can be filled to the capacity. And here's the deal is people leak. People leak. We all leak. And it's the reason we have to stay under his love. Because if we're moving around, then we leak and we find ourselves empty. But the great thing is that when we're living under his love, that he fills us faster than we leak. And if we're living under his love, guess what leaks? His love. His love. And that's cool to think about. Because we're all going home here in a minute. And we get to be with our kids. And we get to be with our spouse. And then we get to go to work sometime, not tomorrow. Tomorrow we get to vacate. Well, some of us. And then on Tuesday, some of you get to go to Kenya. And on Wednesday, a couple get to go to the Philippines. And then there's those of us that are stuck in our community, and that's cool, because guess what? If we're living under the love of God and we're being filled with the love of God, and if we're leaking his love all over the world. Isn't that cool? It's awesome. It's so cool. Would you stand with me? Would you just close your eyes? Everyone close their eyes. I'm going to keep my eyes closed also. Remember that God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And there's some of you that feel empty right now. You just feel empty. You just feel like life, there's not a lot to life, and there's not a lot of life in you. You're just pulled and stretched in every way that you can be, and you feel empty. And I just want to remind you that God is ever present. and that he wants to fill you. And if you just want to be filled with the love of God right now, I just encourage you, no one's looking, I'm not even looking, but as just a physical sign, is could you just say, as I just feel empty, just stick your hand up just a little bit and say, Lord, I feel empty. Would you fill me with your love right now? Just fill me with your love. Help me to just live under your love and live in your love. Lord, I just need your love right now. And fill me. You know, for some of you, this is so new. It's so new, and you're saying is, hey, I understand that past stuff is there things in my life, and Pastor, you don't understand because there's some really bad things there. And I want to say is that's in your past. That's in your past because that's the other side of the cross, and he's inviting you to this side of the cross. He's inviting you to come on the other side of the cross where there's resurrection and there's life and there's hope. Because scripture says that when we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Scripture says is that when we're forgiven of our sins, that he throws them as far as the east is from the west, that he remembers them no more. It's not because he can't remember them no more. It's because he chooses not to. Come to the other side of the cross. Leave that sin. Or if you've never committed your life to Christ, then leave all of your sin at the cross. Just say, as is Lord, I need a Savior. And I realize that Savior is Jesus. And he died on the cross to take the lie, to take the sin, that he became less on the cross so that I could become more on the other side of the cross. And if you've never put your faith in Jesus, say, Jesus, thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. I accept and create in me a clean heart. Make me a new creation. And for some, you've just been caught so much in doing. So much in doing. And he's just inviting you to just know. And you can just say, as is, Lord, help me to know you. Help me to know you. Help me to live under your love. Lord, help that to be the focus. And if that's you, then just say, Jesus, Lord, help me to just know you more. I just want to see your work. I want to see it when I'm doing the dishes or working in the field or working wherever. I just want to just live under your love. Help me to know you more. Help me to see you in your word, in the music that we sing, but also in the everyday parts of life. And thank you. And then because he is love, and because you are being filled with his love, become love. And any time that you start to feel like maybe you're getting empty, is just get under his love. Get under his love. Father and Lord God, thank you. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for coming to change us, transform us, restore us, make us new. Help us to never live in the past. Help us to not see things according to the flesh. Help us to live. Help us to live as the new creatures that you've created us to be, born again, children of yours. In the name of Jesus, amen.